Welcome to our Scorpio podcast for Transcending the Negative Mind. Thank you for walking with us throughout this astrological sacred journey, which we're soon to complete. I am Julia Melville, energy worker, psychotherapist, Kundalini yoga teacher, helping other souls to release trauma and negativity from their bodies, to understand the repetitive stories and patterns of behavior they experience, bringing more flow and joy into life. And I am delighted to be joined once again by Zoe Hind. Zoe is an amazing soul astrologer, well-being coach, and personal trainer. So thank you, Zoe, for being here.
Great to be here again. Nearly our last video.
I know. Incredible. Would you like to just talk a bit about what we can expect with Scorpio? And
certainly. Okay, so we've walked nearly all the way around the zodiac now. And on our way, we've discovered springtime signs, summertime signs, and we're now in the autumn going into the winter. So all of this is supposed to be very intuitive. You don't need to learn astrology from a book or anything like that. But we've also discovered that there are fire signs and earth signs and air signs, and Scorpio is water. So put those two together and we've got dark winter water. If we then go and have a look at what's happening at this time of year, we can see that darkness in as much as the daylight hours in the northern hemisphere are getting less. We're drawing in after the autumn equinox of Libra, the sunset of the year. And as the outer world starts to have that process, we're drawn deep into ourselves as well. So the ancestors used to celebrate Halloween at this time, and a lot of those rituals are very, very relevant and very appropriate to this time of year. So we're tuning in now to our deep inner waters, our darkest aspects. Some people would call it the shadow self. We're going in on our voluntary journey into the underworld to find what lurks beneath and bring it out into the light. So Scorpio is dark winter water. It's very brave, ruled by Mars and Pluto, to have the bravery to go into the darkest places, to turn its energy inwards and to go and find what's lurking. And water in itself is very magnetic. So what we're looking here is the water of the subconscious realms. And as this is a series about transcending the negative mind, the problems that we find and we cause in our lives can often come from repressed aspects of our subconscious. And this is the realm of Scorpio. So very, very different to Pisces water and Cancerian water that we've encountered before. We go into our underworld, we face our demons, we go and find what's lurking. And that, in essence, is the energy of Scorpio. The root of Halloween or Samhain is that the sun crosses over the Milky Way between Scorpio and Sagittarius. And that's a portal that's between the veils where souls were said to choose if they wanted to leave rather than struggle to survive the winter, leave back up the Milky Way, back to source. So we have many, many traditions here of our connection with the other world, our connection with souls, with death and rebirth. And Scorpio is the sign that correlates with death and rebirth. So we have some symbology with Scorpio that we already know, which is the scorpion. So to begin with, the scorpion, it's got a sting in its tail. It's low down on the earth, hiding in the dark places between the rocks. Very powerful, very fearful, small but fearful creature for us in human form. But the journey of Scorpio turns into the two serpents, the Ida and the Pingala, going up the Shashumna, the two serpents going up the rod, when we raise our power, and turns into the eagle, which is a symbol for the pineal gland, when we raise that power and we open our pineal gland. So we've got the scorpion, the two serpents, and the eagle. And that entire journey together is wrapped up in a lot of the mythology of the phoenix, who dies to the old in the ashes and rises up to be reborn. So very, very deep symbology there with Scorpio. It's an alchemical journey. It's a raising of power, and it's a dying to the old and being reborn to the new. And for me, one of the biggest practices that actually echoes this quite well is Kundalini yoga. So I'll hand back over to you, Julia, because with that backdrop, I think there might be a few bits that you can share with us on the Kundalini side of the Scorpio alchemical journey.
Definitely. Thank you. I know, as you were just talking then, I thought, yes, beautifully describing Kundalini yoga. So Kundalini yoga is a very Scorpio energy. And as Zoe, you've just said, if we think about scorpions, they hide in the shadows, in an inner world, an underworld. And they can lash out and sting when provoked, unleashing suppressed anger. And if we translate that to ourselves, we can hide our emotions in our inner world, and we can repress our anger in the subconscious waters of our emotions. We can lash out with a sting in our tail. And when we're in this vibration, our energy can feel very heavy and our mood can feel very low. So I'll go into a bit more about that in a moment, but people often ask me what yoga is, and some people think it's like a religion, some people think it's physical exercise for vitality and health, some people think it's like Pilates. Yoga, whatever yoga you practice, is an adventure in consciousness, and it helps us to explore our own dimensions, our own depths, our own nature, and our own potential as a human being. And it's essentially a relationship, the union of our consciousness with the infinite consciousness. It's a technology of awareness. Kundalini yoga is a science that works on our nervous system and our bloodstream. There are thousands of different kriyas that work on different parts of the body. For instance, we can do things for the liver, where we store anger, the adrenal glands to help us flow more, the kidneys, where we hold fear, the heart to open our heart more to ourselves and to others. Kundalini yoga lies in the experience of it. It goes right into your heart and extends your consciousness. It combines the energy of our glandular system with the energy of our nervous system, and it teaches us to self-regulate our moods and our energy. So what happens when we aren't able to or aren't aware of how to self-regulate? We can experience chaos in our lives, in our relationships. Things just don't seem to flow. We can feel really grumpy. We can have mood swings. We can one day feel good, the next day feel, oh, we're right back in that lower vibration again. Our energy can be quite low. We can also fall into the energies of judgment and blame and victim. So judgment, when we judge others, we are also judging ourselves. And it's really good to start to notice your energy. If you're in a conversation with somebody and you're starting to talk about other people in a negative way, which, you know, as humans, we can all fall into that, you know, he did this or she did that, really start to notice your energy, because this conversation is also impacting on you and on your energy. And look at where you're maybe blaming others, because, again, this is really about when we're in relationship, we want the relationship to be in balance, and it's out of balance, and we fall into that chaos when we start to get into that victim place or that lower energy place. This is when we can distract ourselves as well, when we feel in the chaos. We might distract ourselves with food or exercise or shopping or drugs or sex or whatever it might be that help to take us away from the low energy feelings inside. And at these times, we're more in our head, not listening to our intuition or our consciousness. And this is also when we can feel most unstable. So this is when the chaos comes back in again. We can easily get sucked into a downward spiral of negativity, which is ultimately harming ourselves. If we have thoughts of, I don't deserve that, or they have more money than I do, whatever judgment or negative thought it might be, we're calling in that negative energy, and the universe thinks that's what we want more of. We have to be aware of all of our thoughts, the language we use to and about others and to ourselves, and our tone of voice. We might blame others for how we feel, or think, if only he or she didn't speak to me in that way, I would be fine. We can't change others. We have to step into our own vibration. And from a Kundalini yoga perspective, we have to raise the serpentine energy that Zoe was talking about earlier. And we all have that energy at the base of our spine so that we can raise from the base to the crown chakra. And as Zoe said earlier, this is about death and rebirth, death of the old and rebirth of a new way of being. Sometimes when we feel in the lower vibration, it's really difficult to imagine ever being able to move forward. And the last thing you feel like doing is something that could shift this energy. This is when the mind's in control. Our mind develops stories that it thinks are helping us, protecting us. And when we were younger, it maybe did help shield us from aspects of life. But as we get older, we start to realize that these patterns hold us back. It's like the record has got stuck and is on repeat mode. And it's tiring using up all the energy to firefight whatever is going on internally. It makes me think about the mask that people often talk about, that we can present in one way when we're outside, but actually internally there's a whole other story going on. And as I said earlier, one way to support ourselves with this is to notice the thought, feel the energy, and then ask yourself if it's true, and then let it go. And what if all the low vibration energy could be turned around and used to fire you up? Because a lot of that energy could be really, really constructive and creative, which is where then the Kundalini yoga comes in, because it helps us shift this energy. When I first started practicing Kundalini yoga myself, I would often cry in a kriya or a meditation and be sort of kind of surprised by it. And I would talk to my teacher about it, and she said that I didn't need to know what it was. It's just knowing that it was releasing some energy that was stuck somewhere. And that's one of the things that I love about Kundalini. We don't need to know what it's about. We just know that we're releasing something and that we feel lighter and more energized afterwards.
That's a superb description. Thank you for that. That's really, really useful. So there's a couple of things that we can look at here on the negative side, because we're going into the darkness to find the shadow, to find the problem, to bring it back out for cleansing. So we're going on that journey there. And there can be sexual issues in the zodiac body. For example, Scorpio represents the sexual organs. And orgasm in French is called le petit mort, which is the little death. So we're dealing with that life, death and rebirth, right from the very, very smallest aspect to us then experiencing that in our own lives. So there's a couple of phrases that go with Scorpio. And one is the urge to merge, which is quite comical and quite a modern aspect. But there can be a desire to get out of yourself by merging with another. And that can be self-avoidance in some way, which can then manifest in sexual obsession or addiction of some sort, and negatively in relationships. And the other phrase that applies to Scorpio on the negative side, and each sign does have a negative aspect to it that it wants to work on, and we've all got Scorpio in our chart somewhere, so this applies to all of us, is the use or abuse of power. So what we're looking at here, you've already said the word projection, which is absolutely perfect. But in the subconscious waters, because water's magnetic, whatever's repressed in the subconscious waters, you will attract to you like a drama magnet. And Scorpios like a bit of drama because they like everything intense. But at some point, you might get tired of having everything being dramatic and difficult. And you might go and then find your drama in adventure, in challenges you set yourself, in excitement. So that's one kind of alchemy where you can turn the negative to the positive. A big thing that's come up in the last 5-10 years is the word narcissism. Barely heard of that before, unless it was attached to a Greek myth. And then all of a sudden, the psychologists of YouTube start talking about narcissistic behavior patterns. And that, in a way, is the good example of the use or abuse of power. But just to realize that that's a scale as well. So I listened to some of those videos and I could feel a lot of projecting. It was always the other person that was the narcissist and never the person that was speaking. And then everybody started owning that, joining in the club. Oh, my ex-boyfriend was a narcissist. And this word started flying around like crazy about 3 or 4 years ago. But then I started thinking, well, if that's a scale, then what's the partner to that? Just like a prison guard needs the prisoner. It's really that simple. There's always in the law of polarity going to be the necessary opposite and an energy exchange, which on scorpionic terms could be described as vampiric. You'll have heard the words vampiric, where somebody's taking your energy. Okay, but you're giving it. You're giving your energy away. You're giving your power away. So not only the partner to narcissism, but the solution, if you find yourself in that position, is number one to say, well, where am I narcissistic? Where am I playing power games, the use and abuse of power? But number two, check your victim. And you already mentioned the word victim, but the vampire feeds on the willing victim. So if you're always projecting, always saying that person did that to me, that's not fair, that person hurt me, then chances are there's a part of you that's a victim that wants to be healed. So that might be a study that you could do during the Scorpio month or when you've got transits in your own personal Scorpio. We're dealing with transmutation. So some other words might be projection, obsession, jealousy, and anger. So those would be the main ones. You may come up with some on your own. Julia, is there anything else that you want to have a look at on the dark side that we can then go into how we transmute that?
Yes, I was just thinking as you were talking about anger, because in Kundalini yoga, there are kriyas for releasing inner anger. And also when you mention the word power, it's about owning our own behaviors. You know, with the narcissism, as you said, it's about owning our own behaviors. But power is seen as such a negative thing. And if we can, and we can say a bit more about this in the next bit when we're going to talk about how to raise ourselves up out of this. But if we can turn that power around into something that can really support us, it's amazing how it can change. And that's where Kundalini yoga can really make us powerful. We're in control of our body. We are powerful, but not in an egoic way or a narcissistic way, but in a very embodied way.
Beautiful. So yes, you hear people talk about owning their shadow and things like that. I want that person to love me for my good side and my bad side. And this is kind of psychobabble in a way. This is something that we need to be aware of. Scorpio is actually very, very forensic in its ability to cut through any nonsense and get to the point. So make very good psychologists themselves. But what we're dealing here with is letting go of all of the dark, bringing it to awareness, but not owning it and carrying it around like a label or expecting somebody else to accept us for it. But we're in a very, very vital time now as we head into some very Aquarian energies, and it's transmutation, so that we can become transpersonal. We can escape all of that psychology, can cleanse that repression, that anger that we've been magnetizing towards us. And so just be careful of those words where it's owning. You can integrate it, but in a way, I'd like to take that a step further and say that that was never you. Mm. So taking psychology to the next level now, we're heading into Aquarius, which is everything that you probably think you are. If it's your personality story, none of that is you. You are a bright and perfect soul that's just had certain experiences up until now that you wanted to learn from. So why would you want to go back and own all of that? Why not just go back and ask, what did I want to learn from this? So that's really deep in itself. And now we're at a point where we need to let go of past lives and ancestral lineage. So you might have a story that comes up that's not even yours. Shame, lack, fear, guilt. And you might still be, you might be the last person that's carrying that in your family lineage. It's in your mitochondrial DNA passed down through your family. So when you were talking about having emotion and not even knowing where it's coming from, that's very frequent at the moment, that we're actually letting go and cleansing our entire line. Because as the energies that we're going forwards into won't tolerate any density, because you'll be manifesting on whatever frequency you're on. So we don't want to integrate too much. We don't want to own too much. We don't want to dwell too much and stay in therapy for years. We want to actually realize with the rebellious kick of Aquarius that that's not actually us, and then be able to let that go. And that can be done in the blinking of an eye. So I've been talking a lot this year about the fake personality story, about changing our perception about who we are, about embracing our divine perfection, and just being able to let go of all of those dense energies quite quickly and quite easily. So that would be my own kind of Kundalini practice as an Aquarius, which is to raise the vibration and to transmute that energy through perception, through esoteric wisdom and divine knowledge. What would you say are your favorite practices there for energy transmutation and raising up our frequency, Julia?
I was just thinking while you were talking that I so agree with you about the energy frequencies. I think one thing I really like and that I talk to people a lot about is just checking in with ourselves where, when we have one of those stories that we tell ourselves, as you were saying, you know, is it true? Is this true? And so often it's not true. And it is feeling it in your body and then really feeling it releasing and going. And I think we have a fear around our emotions. I guess we've been conditioned, you know, in certain ways to behave in certain ways and things like that. And also, as we've both talked about the victim, how we can go into that victim mode, it's remembering that whatever's coming up for us isn't happening in that moment. These old childhood feelings, they're just in a situation where they're being rekindled, maybe. And it's really centering ourselves with our breath. I'm always talking about the breath, but the breath is so important. Really inhaling deeply and centering ourselves with our breath, because it helps us to balance ourselves. But always asking the question, is this true? And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, the answer is no. So then to let it go. Another thing that I like to do is, there's so many different things that you can do. Obviously, I'm talking about the yoga a lot today. There are so many different things that you can do. But one thing that you can do is Sufi grind, where you just sit on the floor with your hands on your knees. And I think I've talked about this in one of the previous podcasts. And you inhale as you go forwards and you exhale as you come back. So it's like drawing a circle with the base of your spine. And it works on the root chakra. And so it really helps us to ground. So if you find that you're in that chaotic energy, then that's something that can really help you. And the other thing that came up for me, Zoe, while you were talking, is really, as we were just talking about, embodying all of our feelings. But it's not just, I'm not saying this is what you've said, but what I know can happen, is it's not just thinking that we're changing, it's actually doing it so that we're changing. So that it's, because we can sort of be all sort of okay for a few days, and then that sting in the tail from the, in this case, the Scorpio comes back, and we suddenly start being critical towards ourselves again. So it's really that sort of old saying of walking our talk and talking our walk. It really is so that things are flowing, but kind of we start to know ourselves really inside out, and we just develop this relationship with ourselves so that we are in control, not in a negative way, in a positive way.
Great. So there's some practical exercises can be done there with the Sufi grind. That's also good because you're working those very small muscles and the fascia in the around the hips and the sexual organs. And that's where a lot of sexual repression or anxiety or abuse from the past can be captured in the cells. So don't forget that water signs are the cells of the body. We'll be bringing up those past lives, that ancestral lineage, and exercises like that, super practical to be able to just free that tachyon energy and to get things moving again. So really lovely. Sometimes, yeah, we just want to kind of get into that meditative, moving, breathing presence. Because Scorpio is, of course, opposite Taurus, which is that steady presence. So we've looked at the opposite of each sign as we've gone around our journey also this series. So Taurus being the heart center and the presence and the gratitude, and then Scorpio, you know, that's the solution in a way to some of the Scorpio issues, would be to be more centered, more grateful, more present. So I think that's all that I have really to suggest for the Scorpio moment. We could have a look at some of the astrology that's coming up, if that's...
Yeah, before we go on, I just wanted to say a bit more about the breath and how pranayama, breath, is energy management, and how if we start to deepen our breath, the mind follows the breath. So the key to controlling the mind is controlling the breath. And some other ways that can help you when you find yourself, if you find yourself getting into that chaotic energy or things just aren't flowing, is move your body, walk, dance, run, stretch, skip, whatever it might be. I often skip these days. I've started skipping again, not with a skipping rope. I just like skipping down the road. I used to love skipping as a child. Or take an Epsom salt bath or a long hot shower, something like that. And as we were talking earlier a bit about meditation, even for 5 minutes a day, and so often people say that they can't meditate, and I've certainly struggled to quiet my own mind. And one way to help with this is to hold three fingers of your right hand on the pulse of your inner left wrist and slow the breath right down and focus on the breath and the pulse. And it just takes you out of your mind, and you'll find that you'll start to really slow your breath down. So that's just another quick practical thing that I wanted to share with you before we move into the amazing astrology.
I love that, because you could do that on the bus or while the kettle's boiling. Really, really super quick and practical. Okay, so we're looking at the full moon and the new moon. We've just come out of a Mercury retrograde and a big potent full moon in Aries. So we're heading towards the end of the Mercury retrograde shadow and a new moon, 12 degrees Scorpio on the 4th of November. This does look like a powerful date. We've got a couple of other planetary movements going on at the same time. So there's a bit of a bottleneck there, but we'll be letting go just before that. So the dark moon is a great time to let go, and then we'll be bringing in some very fresh and empowered energy. And I agree what you're saying about empowerment. As long as that comes from your pure core, then everybody's powerful. It doesn't have to be an inflicted aspect on someone else. You can feel your own natural power and expression. So some really positive energy coming in there on the 4th of November for the new moon in Scorpio at 12. And then we've got the full moon and the first of the eclipse seasons coming in at 29 degrees on the 19th of November. So we've got a partial lunar eclipse there, and then we'll be heading into a couple more eclipses in December, which are all unique. Some of them will affect us, some of them won't. And we'll be talking about those as we go along. So basically next month, we'll be completing our series with Sagittarius Fire and heading towards the winter solstice and the rebirth of the sun. So that's one of the new years of the year, the solar new year. But until then, let's go deep and clean out those magnetic subconscious waters for a fresh start and a sovereign bright future.
Sounds lovely, really lovely. Thank you. Yes, and very much looking forward to it. Oh, it's quite sad actually to think that Sagittarius is our last one, having done them every month. But yes, amazing to have traveled around the astrological calendar. So thank you, Zoe, as always, for joining me today for this. It's been really lovely, and I really hope all of you really find some helpful tips and information to help you through this month and to be able to go deep and swim out of that depth and come up to the light again. And if you're interested in finding out more about Kundalini yoga, you don't have to have any experience at all. I teach an online class on a Friday morning at 7 o'clock, which is quite an effort, I know, especially now as the days are changing, it's getting a bit darker. It's quite an effort to get out of bed, but it's an amazing way to start your day. So you're very welcome to join me. You can find details on my website, www.juliamelville.com. And Zoe, where can people find you for all your wisdom?
Yeah, I do chart readings, courses and coaching. And you can find me on, the best way to contact me is my email, and I'll arrange a call, because there's so much that we can explore that it's good to have a chat and see what's right for you. That's zoehind7@gmail.com. My YouTube channel, Zoe Astro, has got a library worth of videos all about the planets and signs and things. And then if I do post, it's on Facebook at AstroZoe and Instagram at ZoeHind7. So if you'd like to see where any of this is happening for you, or start to tune into your own intuitive astrology, the Scorpio is the occult, it's the wisdom, it's the depths, it's the mysteries. So this is a perfect time to dive in and have a course of study for the winter.
Amazing. Thank you. And yes, as always, if anybody has any questions, please contact us. You'll find my email on my website, or I'm Julia_Melville. On Instagram. And so, yeah, look forward to hearing from you. And it's always good to get any feedback, if you have any feedback that you want to give us or anything like that. But we are wishing you a magical month of Scorpio.